snow. One on three. Ready? One, two, three. Snow! Come on! I said snow! Snow! Okay, then. Ah, don't snow. See what I care. I like this weather. Let's have it forever. Please, snow, please. Just a foot, okay. 8 inches. That's all. Come on, 6 inches. Even. How about just six? I'm waiting. Do you want me to become an atheist? I think he's undergone at least 3 of the 5 stages of grief in this whole comic. Bargaining, anger, denial. But have you ever noticed God's never in a hurry? No matter how much we are in a rush, God's not in a rush. I can see a bit of Calvin in me, because I get impatient with God too. It's a good thing God doesn't get impatient with me, but I get impatient with him, waiting for him to do what he thinks he should be doing. I'm sure in the Bible there's people who probably felt the same way. I think of David. So he's out in the field taking care of the sheep, and all of a sudden he gets called to come home to his father. And next thing he knows, he's being anointed as the next king of Israel. Then next happens, he kills this giant, Goliath. He's in the king's court. He's best friends with the king's son, with Jonathan. He's the general. He's like the superstar of Israel. And then, all of a sudden, he's on the run for his life. He's an outlaw, and he's living in the wilderness. And all that happened before, it just seems to have evaporated, disappeared. And he's there, waiting. Not 1 year, not 2, not 5, but a decade. Or take Abraham and Sarah. So, he's relaxing, he's out in the field, it's a starry night, and he's talking with God, and God tells him, you know what? I am going to make you the father of a nation. You're going to have this many descendants as there are stars in the sky. And Abraham probably is going, but I'm God. And God goes, yes, I know. You need a son. You're going to get a son. And can you imagine the joy that Abraham went home with that night? And he talked to Sarah, and it's like, okay, you know what? I know the biological clock is ticking, but if we get a move on this right now, you know, like, the chances are slim, but if we wait too long, it'll be none. But then, 9 months later, nothing. And the years start going by, and they get older. And it's not 5 years, not 10 years, not 20 years. But after 25 years, and the Bible says he was as good as dead when that happened, that it finally came to be. Or take Moses. When he was born, he was called, he was set apart to rescue Israel. And then he goes ahead and he tries to make it happen. And the next thing he knows, he's on the run. And he's living on the other side of the wilderness, herding sheep for 40 years before God brings him back and he lives out his calling. And so, one thing with Abraham and David is they have this promise from God, what they were going to receive. But at the same time, they had this reality. They had what they saw. They had their everyday experience, which, getting older here, God, where's the sun? And it feels like they're a rubber band being stretched between these two points. They're living in this tension, in this. As human beings, we don't like dissonance. We don't like when things don't fit together. We want to have a nice, neat picture puzzle where everything comes together and it's nice, under control, and perfectly shaped. And so we have this dissonance. Now, and so that's where Abraham, Moses, and David found themselves. And I think we find ourselves there quite a lot too. Stretch between these two points of what we believe God has given us, what He has called us to, and where we actually are at. I mean, we all have promises. Maybe not a promise or a calling to rescue a nation or to lead a nation or to become the father of a nation. But we do have promises in the Bible. What are some of the promises? One of my favorite ones is that He will carry to completion the good work He has begun in us. What are some others? What are some of the promises that you guys are holding on to? That He'll give us rest. He'll give us the desires of our heart, yeah. All those are good ones. He will never leave us or forsake us. He'll always be there. Definitely. And those are things that we can hold on to. But I think we do end up finding ourselves in these points of tension. For me, as I mentioned, one of my favorite ones is that He will carry out this good work He has begun in us to completion. Or another way of putting it in is, I won't continue to sin. So that's my promise. And then just yesterday, over a minor detail, I had a big fat fight with Anna Marie. That's my day-to-day. Not every day, don't worry. But my day-to-day is my sinfulness, who I am, comes to the fore. And I really long to be good. And so I'm caught in the middle here. And one of the temptation is in this dissonance, in this tension, to let go of one of the ends. It's to let go and say, you know what? This promise from God? Whatever. This is my reality. Wake up. Let's face the reality. And I mean, the obvious way that that temptation can work out is just straight up denial. It's straight up, you know what? I'm done with you, God. I'm going my own way. I don't want to live in this tension. But another one is trying to make it happen on my own strength. Trying to pull up my bootstraps and, you know what? God's not showing up. God's not doing the work. I'm going to do it. And in Abraham's life, we see that. We see that Sarah and him decided, you know what? God's taking forever. Why don't we do this? Abraham, here's my maidservant, Hagar. You know what to do. We'll have a son that way. And that's not what God's plan was. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God is asking us to just twiddle our thumbs. When God calls us, He asks us to step forward and to act. I mean, when it was time for David to step up to the kingship, there was action. When it was time for Moses to go and confront Pharaoh, there was action. When it was time for Abraham and Sarah to conceive, there was action. So I'm not saying it's just twiddling your thumbs, but I'm saying we're not the initiators. We're not making it on our own. We're kind of like this puppy here if we try to make it on our own. We just don't have the strength for the things that God has promised us. So, as I said, the temptation can so easily be to just, okay, I'll get rid of the tension and I'll let go of God's promise. And I'll just face up to reality. The other temptation is to let go of reality and pretend that God's promise is already here, it's already in the works, it's done. And I mean, there's the overt temptation of that, which is to just pretend it's happening to, it's kind of like the guy who says, God has healed me of my blindness, when he still is blind in one eye. But there's a more subtle temptation of this. And the more subtle temptation is to cover up, is to minimize, is to, yeah, you know what, I can. It's not that bad. Or, you know, I had a fight with Anna Marie yesterday, but it wasn't a big deal. We're good. You know, this, my own stuff, my own thing, it's not a big deal. At least I'm not a mass murderer. It's to play these games and to not look at our reality. And when we don't look at our reality, I actually believe we're cutting off the power that God wants in our lives, because he wants to transform our reality. He wants to transform where we're at, and if we don't allow him into that, if we don't want to go there, and we don't allow him into that, he's not going to be able to change it on us. So here we are, stuck between these two points in this tension, and the temptation is to go over to either one in order to get rid of the dissonance, to get rid of the tension. But what do we do if we're stuck in the tension? What do we do with that tension? And I believe that God calls us to pray out of that tension. So I've got two prayers up there. And yes, they're at both extremes again, but one comes out of, comes just out of shallowness, but the other one comes out of a place of tension. The other one comes out of this place of, this is the reality. Israel is pretty much done for, is what it looks like. But here's the promise, here's who you are, God. And Nehemiah is praying this to God, and it's out of his tension that he feels. And so when we find ourselves caught between these two points of tension, God wants to use that to bring us to a place of prayer, because that's where deep prayers are birthed. That's where dangerous prayers are birthed. That's our prayer, where prayers that transform us, that transform the world, are birthed. If we're just on one side, we're not going to pray, because there's no tension, there's no dissonance, there's nowhere where we need to go. But if we're willing to stay in that tension, I believe it will lead us to prayer. The one other reason that I think God will leave us in that place of tension is because in that place of tension, I believe God is asking us a question. I believe God is asking us a question that he actually asks everyone. And I think it's the most important question that we can ever be asked. And it's the one that Jesus is asking his disciples here. It's not, he first asks, so who do the people say I am? Who does the world out there say I am? And back then they said it's a prophet, or, you know, basically a good guy, a spiritual guru good guy. And if you ask most people out there who's Jesus, most of them would probably say the same answer. But that's not the real question. The real question is, who do you say Jesus is? Jesus asks, who do you say I am? And when we're caught in that tension, when we're caught between what our everyday experience is and the promise that God has given us, we're being asked, who do you say I am? Do you trust that I am good? Do you trust that I'm in control? Do you trust that I know what I'm doing? Do you trust that I am the Son of God, that I am the one that's come to liberate you, that I am the one that's going to bring you from here over to here? And I want to finish this off by saying, I believe he does. I want to answer that question, saying that yes, he is good. Yes, he is faithful. Yes, when he says he will do something, He will do it. Am I there yet? Are we there yet? No. But we're as good as there because of who Jesus is, of who made that promise. He is faithful, he is good, and he knows what he's doing. We may not, but he does. Thank you.
Let's just be quiet before the Lord and